study of human nature. And I've got a big, I got 5 pages already, but I got more. So I should just take me through good, take me through, I figure, probably next year, if the Lord tarries. So I got material. So we're trying to build upon it a little bit here about human nature. There's a ton of illustrations God gave us in His Word. And it's more application. And I think being, for all ministers, which we should be, that's about dealing with other people. So not only can some of these places both help you out, but you'll be able to use it to help others minister to them. Okay? Now, this is called the Zacchaeus principle. And let me just set this up a little bit here, and then we'll go look at this scripture and pull some things out of here and see what it says. This is a great pattern of dealing with people in personal life. As you continue to work with people and find people in various issues or problems, one of the things that you want to be understand is that every situation is different. I mean, you may get a principle here in Scripture, but we're all equally individuals. How I deal with some person may be exactly how I deal with someone else, even though the principle may be there, but people are different. You got to understand that, and that'll help you as you understand this year. There's still the pattern of the problems always be there. They may be similar, and they may have the same problems, but not the same people. That's the reason where they are will be different. It may be fundamental in some areas, but even though it violated the Bible principles, but on a personal level of who they are, everyone is different. You got to remember that. You think, well, I dealt with this person one way, and they answered one way, the same principle. I dealt with someone here, but the personality is different, and so forth. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. So, but the bottom line with this principle is things do need to be made right. Something's got to be made right. If you have a problem, you got to make it right. And I'll show you the big problem that a lot of times is in the family, husband and wife and kids. They got to make those things right. Real important. That's what I'll cover here. That's where Zacchaeus principle is a great principle that shows us that in one area, when restitution is made, and it's made right. Very important to see this. Okay, so let me read this scripture here from Luke 19, 1 to 10, the story of Zacchaeus. And I tell you, I remember this when I was a kid, singing that little song, Zacchaeus was a little man. But you went, oh, there's some truth behind there, and I think you'll see how that applies here. Luke 19, 1 to 10 says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was a little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to a place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all marveled, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, I'm going to stop right here. Look, take a second before I finish reading here. And look at Zacchaeus. A couple things about him. He was a public officer. He was a tax collector. And the Bible says he was chief among the publicans. He was probably a big shot here. And so he's no small politician guy. It also says he was very rich. So no, very important to get that. Rich politicians almost always get there because they're crooked. Just to say that. Okay, I mean, remember, the exception proves the rule. It's amazing to me that, like, in my state of Illinois, Governor Pritzker spent $150 million to become president. Well, your job only pays $125,000. Why would you pay $125 million to get a $125,000 job? It's like spending $1 million of your money to go work at Burger King, get $20 an hour. It makes no sense. Obviously, there's something tied with that. I got to make a bail. As a matter of fact, well, I just drew this up because I live in the state of Illinois. To my point here that they're crooked, this is information on Illinois is the most corrupt state in the union, it says. And we live there. We're a couple of people in Illinois here, man. So, you know, pat our own nose for that there. Now, it's based, however, based on records here, it's estimated that 1,500 people have been convicted, politicians have been convicted of state crimes and sentenced since the 20th century in Illinois. That's a fact. I'll give a couple of them here. Otto Corner, he was 1961-68, 3 years in jail for tax evasion. Dan Walker, 1973, fraud, public profile, 18 months in jail. George Ryan, remember George Ryan, more our term? 6.5 years, racketeering, and trying to, with governor. Matter of fact, what happened to him is he was selling the right to get a license to foreigners. If you know this story, and some Mexican guy got a license, could speak English, and he was driving a semi-truck, and something came off it and ran across the Wilsons. They're Baptists, and it ran in their van, started on fire, and I think they lost 3 or 4 kids, and they're burned up, and they got, I think, the second largest settlement in Illinois for a lawsuit. I think it was $240 million. Once the Baptist got that $240 million, we never seen him again. He just kind of, I'm going to do all, they had a little track about everything, you know, and I just just disappeared. You get $240 million minus 30% for the lawyer, you probably, unless you're really grounded, you're gone. So I never heard of him, what happened there. He went through all this ministry, nothing happened. But that was part of the George Ryan. And then Rob Blagojevich, remember him? He spent 14 years in jail. I was supposed to, but then Governor or President Trump pardoned him. You know, so he was my age, and I go through a bunch of things. Michael Madigan, Senator McCain, this is from our state. So it's showing you how corrupt it is. Matter of fact, there's a gal here, if you remember, Carol Moseley Braun. Remember her? Okay. The reason I know her because in our legal profession, we deal with probate things and Medicare. She was, she got, back when I started, you could do what they call a Medicaid trust legally and put money over here and then apply for Medicaid. It was actually legal back when I had dark hair and young and everything. But then I go, that's not right. You're applying for a benefit of the state, which is state run, and you said you're broke. But we had so they go, hey, you can't do that anymore. If I remember, again, a publication says, Granny goes to jail and her lawyers are with her. Remember that I had that for many years. I showed it to my partners, hey, look at here, we're in jail, man. Don't go to jail for doing this. So they had a 3- and 5-year look back period now, I don't know, in Illinois at least. And Carol Moseley Braun, she, of course, like a senator here, and she wanted to get Medicaid for her mom, so she kind of was putting that money in her pocket, you know? It was the senator. And of course, she got caught. And of course, we did for her. Okay, she had to give the money back, but she then made her an ambassador to New Zealand and Samoa. And she, that's what she did. She lives in some mansion over there. So these people that got caught, they go to jail. So the same 500 people that got in jail, that's just when they got caught or just had to pay a penalty. So real important to get this here. I'm trying to build about Zacchaeus here because he did some principles here that show you how his heart was and what we need to do. It's sometimes easier said than done, but he done it. So real important. So corruption is bad. And nothing ever changes in the Bible. I'm sure it was corrupt. That's Zacchaeus. In fact, the reason why I stopped here, because verse 7, when everyone sees Jesus going to his house, they make it very clear in their opinion, said Zacchaeus, he's a sinner. We all knew that. He's a political hack. He's very rich and got that way by skimming off the top of people's taxes, confiscating. He alludes to it himself. We'll see that a little bit later here, but he gets saved. And when I say gets saved, I mean under the Old Testament. You understand what I'm saying? You know, he wasn't born again like we are, but you know, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was in the Old Testament. You know, in between, you know, salvation to him, you know, meeting with the Lord. Praise the Lord. But that's something that eludes most politicians. If they mention the name of Jesus, they're not doing what he did. A principle here, you know, you'll find that out, whatever, okay? Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to thy house. For as much as also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which was lost. So there's no question about it. There's a principle here I want to go through, but no doubt about it, Zacchaeus had a humble experience. There's some things I'm going to talk about that we need to do if we're in a position like that. Zacchaeus is obviously a picture of an unsaved man in the story, how he gets saved. Zacchaeus' principle lies in the fact that he says, if I had done anything to any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Take note of that. I'm covering that here. The principle here is that in making restitution to some people for something you have done to them by simply saying, I'm sorry, don't cut it. You get that? Okay? You have to go the extra mile and make restitution. Gotta get that? Okay? Now, let's give you a little background. We've all learned this. When I was young, Isaiah's age there and so forth, you know, I'm getting out of college, I had a guy named Jack Carter. Now I'm saved, and he was my friend in college, and my buddy Willie, you know Willie, he's my still friend to this day, he had let me borrow his motorcycle for school. I mean, he's just a gracious guy. It was a 175 Honda, you know. It was phenomenal to have out there, you know. So I had it the whole time. And Jack Carter goes, hey, can I use it? Well, hey, mine, call Willie. Can I use your motorcycle? Oh, sure, no problem. So I gave him the motorcycle, and the day I got it, give it to him, the chain broke, and, you know, a little blink came out. Hey, it's $16 for it. Would you mind fixing it? I'll give you the money, no problem. And so he took it and put it by some trailer and got stolen. Now, here's the point. So he calls, well, hey, your bike got stolen, Willie. I go, well, we gotta, you know, you gotta pay him. Well, you didn't give it to me. Wait a minute, I gave you the thing. You had possession of it. You know, see, my point is a point thing. When it comes down to money and pride, the minute, that separates the men from the boys. You get that? I go, I'll tell you what to do, Jack. I'll split it with you. Okay, so I'll pay $400. By the way, 1981, $800 is a lot of money. I'm telling you, weren't around it, but that's not a dough back then. Today, maybe it's not, but 1981. So I go, I'll pay $400. You pay $400. He paid $100, and never paid more. I paid Willie. I wish I'd go back. I go, this guy, a real friend, give you $300, he pays me back. Believe me, if you can do that, it's worth it. Why put a lot of time and energy of people that aren't real friends? They're friends because of a lot of reasons. They have strings somewhere there, you know? So I'm learning these things, you know? But you see what I'm saying? When it comes down to the $300 stinking bucks, whatever, he wouldn't pay it. And never did. I mean, he came to town one day, and we called, so I witnessed him, you know, so forth, you know. But I wouldn't put even back then, I'm not going to put money in a friendship. See the point I'm making there? And I had the same thing with a very similar situation with a boat we borrowed. I'm real careful borrowing stuff. You know why? Because you borrow it, you break it, you pay for it. We borrowed a boat, same thing. For some reason, the prop wasn't on, we didn't put it on right. We ruined the lower part of the motor, and it was $260 times three, because me, my lawyer friend, and Bob, we broke it, we're going to pay for it. Well, I paid for it, my credit card. My lawyer friend, good guy, love the Lord, gave me money. The other guy, you know how it goes. I went to his house twice to get my money. This is back in the 80s, and, you know, that's not money back in the 80s, you know? And I had to go three times to get it, you know? But the point being is, when it comes down, I'll show you, to resources and your pride, I'm covering detail, that separates folks. You got to take note of that, this principle here, okay? So I wanted to make note of that. Now, two areas where you have to go the extra mile. Very important to get this before I get to the principle. The first area is between husbands and wives and their relationships and their children. Not too much the wife to the husband, but mostly the husband to the wife. The woman is a tender part of relationship. Amen? And many men don't understand this, but a man can hurt a woman's spirit to a point where she doesn't get over it easily as men do. That's just the way it is. Hey, you go on, a man have a spat at some way, back and forth, and, you know, on sports, whatever it is, or get aggravated. But the next few minutes, you're still pick a deal. That's just where we're geared. But you know what, though? But a woman has a spirit you have to really kind of, you have to guard over. We push and shove, and, you know, sometimes I'm sorry doesn't cover it. If there's any place that takes more in a relationship, it's between the husband and wife. So it's real important you got to understand that. Most guys never get this, and that's why they have troubles in their marriage. You never see that the weaker vessel. And that's what they are. And that's okay. Got it. They never see their... They have to guard and watch their spirit. And they also should make sure someone else doesn't trash their wife's spirit. That's why I'm big about, it's me, not having your wife work. Because when they're in a work environment, they're still under someone's authority sometimes. Or they can get their spirit messed with not being there. So watch them out for them. But that takes a little time to repair that. And I'm sorry, many times just doesn't work, you know. So I'm just trying to show you some principles here that you can apply to your life or help someone else out, some younger folks that don't quite understand it. Most husbands are oblivious to this fact. They trample over it. You say to her, I'm sorry. What more can I do? Well, there's some things you can do. Well, this principle I'm going to show you, you have to add to it, a few things you have to do to it to kind of to build it back up, okay? And same thing with the children, okay? Going back to Zacchaeus, being a rich man and a politician, there are two things that will define a man in a wrong way, and they can render him worthless when it comes to anything, and that is giving away his money and swallowing his pride. And that's what he did right here. Those are two things, because a man's resources, it's basically working. If you have X amount of dollars, whatever that is, it takes you a month, 2 or 3 months to get it. That's your time put in there, you know. That's why they test people out there and test Zacchaeus out here. I'll show you in a minute here. This is where Zacchaeus is. When he met the Lord, he had obviously heard about what the Lord had done. He knew from word of mouth and the life of Jesus, everything that was going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I wondered about this because, you know, Matthew was a publican, right? Maybe he saw the change in Matthew and go, hey, look what's going on here, man, you know? What? And he was the chief guy. Look at that guy. Hey, man. So see there's obviously, this is important because, you know why? He heard what's going on here. He knows who he is and he believes who he is. Zacchaeus couldn't wait to see him. That's a principle right there. You know, he could not wait to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's a little guy. And when it says he could not see him for the press, that wasn't the news media, even though it could be a double application, the news media there, you know. But he couldn't see him, so he decided to look at him and go up into a tree. He was determined he's going to see him. I like that about him. He was determined to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people the Lord is dealing with, maybe, you know, their hunger for the Word of God today, their hunger to hear from God's Word today. When you have that, you want to sure minister to it. So he had a determination to finally meet the Lord. And when he did, he sealed the deal by what he said. He blows through the two things that you would have as a politician, his money and his pride. That's the key thing. How many politicians would humble themselves and then, hey, I got to make things right. I remember when I got saved, I worked for the beer company, Coors Beer and Old Style, like I say, in the beer industry. And I don't remember, but it's a guy named Adolf Coors III. He used to commercials. He had nice white hair, good-looking guy. He got saved right around when I did. I remember reading the thing from Associated Press. Adolf Coors got saved, and got saved in a real tough spot because he lost his son in an automobile accident. And the Lord used that to get him saved, and he completely divorced himself from the heir of Coors Beer. That's a real genuine deal. See, that's a genuine, that's a wicked thing to do. That's like happened here. I get saved and, you know, I'm still in the deal. People can do that, but he, for sure, this ain't worth it, man. So he divorced himself from the liquor industry, probably a lot of potential there, our wealth, whatever he had, kind of divorced himself from there, wanted nothing to do with it, gave that all away. I was in the industry. Go off. That guy can do it and be an owner. Who am I, little guy? He kind of motivated me a little time on there. But that's what happened there. Chief politicians, there is their pride and the fact they're very rich. Out of the chute, he simply humbled himself and says, you know what? I am going to give half my goods to the poor. Then he says, if I have defiled anybody, I'm going to restore it fourfold to a false accusation if I did it. So those are the first two things that I see that I understand a man has a problem with. If those two things that will keep a husband from going down the wrong road, or a wife, or kids, I will also keep mom or dad from their kids, it's usually pride or something to do with finances. Those are a lot of, in divorces, a lot of the problems, it has to do with money, half the problem with it. So there's something there. So there's a principle here that I'm going to show you how to solve. So what happened here? Well, I call it the fourfold aspect of restitution. And there's six things you want to look at here on this fourfold aspect. Now, I understand we're not under the law, but some principles here. And I'll show you how. Here's the Old Testament dealing with physical things. Here's spiritual. But if you apply these things, they'll work. And you might have done it already and go, boy, I've done that. And you went, though, that relationship was restored. And you find out it's Bible, and then you'd be able to secure it down. Number one, Zacchaeus' motive was right. One, to keep his relationship right with the Lord. Right off the bat, that's a cool thing. The first thing I see here is the fact that his motive was restoring fourfold to keep his relationship right with the Lord. That's a good thing. That's a good motive. You always want your motive, whatever you do, to please the Lord. Zacchaeus has wasted no time to see this. All the time Zacchaeus is wanting to see God. By the way, notice God wanted to see him too. Isn't that something? I mean, God was waiting for him. He climbs up in a sycamore tree. There are hundreds of people all around. He can't even get close to him. How surprised he must have been when the Lord called his name. Ain't that something? There's that personal relationship there. You know what I mean? I went, though, you know, God's trying to get close with you a lot of times. I mean, he's waiting for you. Here's a guy that was ready with his heart. And that's where you can have fellowship with the Lord. One thing I like about the pastors, ask the Lord to show you something. Ask the Lord to have fellowship. I think I might have mentioned a story before. If I did, this is what makes me repeating. Always tells me, don't tell the same stories, but they're true, because they're the same story over and over again. I went on a cruise with my family, because of the business I'm in. And I honestly don't remember the boat I was on. I don't remember where we went. But I remember some spiritual things. And my kids were small. If they ever went through something, I go, I need to get along with the Lord. So I got my little Bible. I went to a third floor. It was air conditioning. It was over the ocean, blue thing. I got some coffee. I got my Bible here. And I said, Lord, to myself, show me something today. You know, I mean, that's, you want the Lord to show you something. I'm praying to myself, Lord, show me something today that I can use. Lord, show me something. And as I'm saying that, behind me I hear, oh, God, thank you so much for my wife. Oh, God. And he's guys praying. Thank you for my son. Thank you for, he's praying for his meal, and real loud. I'm like, oh, that guy must be a believer. I'm sitting here not paying attention. He must be a believer behind me. You know, that's kind of cool. Hey, before I get, I'm going to get a cup of coffee and say hello. You know, I have fellowship. You know, so I get behind me. I turn around, and I'll never forget this. I've told it. Here's a guy in a wheelchair, completely quadriplegic, and his wife is feeding him something. I mean, and his little kid's there, a little hat, about 4 years old. I go, oh, man, you know. And so I kind of got my coffee, came back, and I think his name was Eric. I go, hey, Eric, how you doing? You believe? Oh, I'm a believer. And well, what's your story? He goes, well, I was 18 years old surfing, I guess, somewhere on the East Coast. And somehow he was surfing, and the wave hit him, and he landed on the beach and broke his neck. He's a believer, he says, young believer. And he woke up in the hospital, and he's looking up, and the guy says, guess what, Eric? You're quadriplegic, 18 years old, man. Prime your life, a young man. And he stood there almost shocked. He goes, well, I could say, why me? He says, Lord, he says, help me. Now, this is about 8, 9 years later. Somewhere because he had the zeal of the Lord, he met this girl. She was a beautiful girl, I have to admit. And he married her and had a kid. I don't know how it worked. And this girl that was feeding him on the front end got to clean him on the back end. You know what I'm saying, you know? And he had the joy of the Lord. And so, point being is, the Lord says, oh, I got something for you right back here. You see that? Sometimes when the Lord has something for you, you never know what he's going to give you. A lot of times in Scripture. A lot of times, here's what happens to kids. Hey, I want something to see from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, I got something. See the Zacchaeus principle there? It's good to seek the Lord. And when you approach him that way, he'll get something to you. A lot of times, we are believers, we get into routine, and we forget about the Lord. We like the fellowship in church, and it's a routine. All good routines are good, traditions are good, but you forget about the Lord. You want the Lord to meet you in some places, amen? And that's kind of what happened here with Zacchaeus. He had the right motive, first of all. See what I'm saying? Hey, I want the right motive. And what though? Come on down. He knew him. The guy coming through, he points out to him, there he is. Zacchaeus, come on down, make haste. He was ready, heart was ready. Number two, Zacchaeus applies the fourfold concept of Exodus 22. This is the point I make right here. Let's look at the fourfold concept. The Old Testament, which would Zacchaeus, even though he was unsaved at the state, in the Old Testament sense, Dill understood this concept when he met the Lord. The average Jew, even the Jews that rejected Jesus, they knew more Bible than a lot of people today. There was their culture. You understand, in Judaism, their Bible was their life. Part of this is because the Jewish culture, the Old Testament, was the mainstay of everything. The Jewish faith culture is the only one that they knew from the Old Testament and part of everyday life. Everyday culture, everything they did based around the Bible, whether they love the Lord or not. They're dealing with a literal kingdom here back in the Old Testament, and now we're dealing with a spiritual kingdom. But we ought to be the same way. If you're a believer, everything you do ought to focus around about relationship with the Lord and your people and try to be the Lord. It's like they did it physically. They had the physical rules. Now we should do things spiritually. And I cover them when you're born again, about your family and being new in Christ, all those things. That should be our natural state. Zacchaeus understood that the biblical concept of fourfold goes back to Exodus 22. This is my point, that these guys knew the Bible even when they didn't always do with the right thing. Now let's look at Exodus 22 for a minute. This is where, in the middle of this chapter, God's giving ordinances about things. He goes to nation in Israel and makes a statement here, just a scriptural quote. By the way, in Exodus 22, this is 1,491 years it was made Exodus. The Lord shows up. That's 1,500 years. Think about it. 1,500 years, something still in the works. That's the amazing thing right there alone. Amen? How do you explain that? The scripture's always there. God's always in the midst. The law's laid upon your heart. That's ingrained in everything they do. Exodus 21:1. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox or four sheep for a sheep. He would also probably know 2 Samuel chapter 12, 1 to 12. For time's sake, I'm not going to read it. But that's the scripture where Nathan came to David. Remember that? And he goes, hey man, let me tell you a story about a rich man that had a lamb. And obviously, David's kind of hide his sin. And so, I'm not going to reading it here. Hey, let me tell you about this man here. And he took this guy's rich guy. And he took this guy's lamb. But that guy, he deserves to die. And all that stuff, you know. And he's self-proclaiming judgment on himself. Amen? That's kind of him. Interesting. And what's the picture of that is that's where you get the sure mercies of David. David deserved to die under the law, but God gave him the sure. And that's a picture of us and our salvation eternal security, right? See how that type of there physically would have died. Here spiritually we should die, but we have the sure mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See how the old kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven kind of work together there. So he understood. So obviously, Zacchaeus understood those principles. And obviously, if you understand what happened, he says you won't die, but it cost David what, his four sons. That fourfold thing, you know, he paid. So the principle here shows you that God will hold us accountable for the principles. You got that? You see how that is? So you understand what happened over there is, hey, and Zacchaeus understood that. Before he said anything, hey man, woe is me, and he's humble, and my pride is gone, and whatever I got to do, I'm going to restore. My calculations, he might have been so crooked, if what he crooked back, he might have been broke again. Who knows? Half I'm giving away and fourfold, I don't want slept, but may have been much. But that's still the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Zacchaeus just simply fessed up and took care of the business, where even David, he was tricked into it kind of way, right? You know? So he's got more of a humble thing at this point here than David did. And David's a great guy. At least David, when he found out, he got things right. But, you know, here right away, Zacchaeus' principle is, hey, right away, he's fessing up to it. I like that about that. That's a principle you got to get. You have the right attitude. You have to, you know, it's like godly repentance and worldly repentance. Yeah, godly repentance is like what Peter had, and when he messed up, he knew who he was. And what happened to Judas? He got caught because, you know, he got caught. He's sorry about that. Being sorry because you got caught is one thing. I go to the jail. Many, many people are sorry because they got caught or whatever. You know, very few are the kind that go, woe is me. See what I'm saying? That's the difference, the principle here. So number three, boy, I'll get through this a little bit here. That's how much I have left. Okay, I'm going to fly through to get through here a little bit here. Okay, I want to go through this principle here so we start fresh next month when I come back. Zacchaeus knows when you're hurting someone, the cost can be higher than it appears. So when you hurt somebody, there's a cost here. Zacchaeus knows from that his actions have been, many times you hurt somebody, the cost of you hurting them is higher than it appears. We say something to someone derogatory and walk away thinking we feel good. Think, well, I guess I told them. But you don't not necessarily see the impact of how that hurts them. Don't misunderstand me here. Taking a stand is important for the Word of God. I'm about relationship with people, especially your family or your spouse. Words can be very deadly. There's a power of life and death in the tongue. Sometimes your words can be very damaging to people, you know. That's why you can sue somebody for what you say about them, because it's important. You know, words can be worse than something else. So he understood this principle. As Zacchaeus, his life as a publican, a tax collector, to him, being rich from gleaming off the tax collector is obviously hurt a lot of people, because the people look at him as a sinner. They knew that he was not on the top, up and up. I'm sure there are people that were poor, took advantage of him to find his own pocket. That's kind of sad. Take people, someone that, you know, real low, give me extra money. I'm sure there were circumstances where he used his political power and position to increase his own pocket. Like, I don't know how long he was a chief publican, tax collector, but long enough people knew he was not, had a poor reputation. I don't think when he went to work the next day and got saved, he was saying, joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And he had to make things right first. See that? See, I mean, oh yeah, here's a sinner coming. Well, what's going on with this guy? See, he had to go back and do some things. See, he knew that. Yeah, I don't got time today, but I got saved. I went back, it took me a while, I wrote letters. I made some them things that I didn't do right, a detail, and I tried to make them right. Because I go, hey, you went though? That was bad. And I saw my light, you see yourself, you know, in the light of Scripture. It can be a sad thing. That's why it's real joy or benefit of people like that get saved and raised in the church, because they don't have a lot of problems or that they've caused before. But if you do, you can see the reformation here. So that's what he had to do. He had to make things right. They didn't go. They had to be forthright, and he had to make restoration back to people. Number four, when you hurt somebody, you apply the fourfold principle and allow the Holy Spirit now do the healing process so you can get them through it. So now we have the Holy Spirit on our side, the side of Calvary. When you hurt somebody, like in your family or a parent, say something our sorry, don't cut it. Too much hurt, too much damage has been done. You have to go to the fourfold principle. You have to go more that extra mile. How a parent that loses their kids or kids have an attitude towards your parent. In many cases today, the blame is all on the kid. But you know what though? A lot of times the parents have some problem. It's look at, recognize, hey, I did things that are wrong. Woe is me. And being humble enough to say, woe is me, and ministering there, you know what though? Letting the Holy Spirit work in that stuff. See what I'm saying? You know? That's just being forthright, because it's never 100% their fault. You have some responsibility in the game. Five, Zacchaeus is happy to do what was needed to restore at fourfold. That's a great thing. The thing I like about Zacchaeus, he was ready to show in his heart right away that he wanted to follow this principle, knowing David's principle and the principle found in Exodus, and he wanted to make things right away. It says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He knew right away when he got down, I like that. He was open. You have to pry him. Hey, you want to counsel somebody? You have to do this here. He was open to do it. That's a great principle. Last thing I'll do, close here. The next one is Zacchaeus had the right, again, attitude and was ready to do whatever it takes. That's a hard thing to do. The right attitude, that is, I will do whatever I have to do, be willing to do whatever God wants me to do to make it right. That has to deal with one's pride. That's the big deal right there. Boy, oh boy. And that's it. Those are just so simple things. And that fourfold thing, I don't know what it is. Ask the Lord. But it's got to be many things to do to report relationship. You know, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know what it is. Make something right. Make things right. Buy something. Car. Whatever it is. When you do that with this attitude, with the thing, that's the Holy Spirit is in there, and we'll repair that relationship. That's called the Zacchaeus principle. I want to cover it amongst my study here, because we're gonna use some of this here in future studies. That guy there had a little thought and applied it, and restoration was saved with a spouse or a friend or with a child. Okay. Any questions on this Zacchaeus principle? Yes, sir.
No, not really. The question is kind of a concept. We'll start this. We think about.